Osho, from the false to the truth, answers to the seekers of the path, given in Rajneeshpuram, Oregon, USA. Discourse number 19.
One. Outside, then inside, beauty, utter beauty. Is there more?
There is no end to it. There is infinitely more. You cannot exhaust it, but one condition has to be remembered. You should not ask for it. You should not seek for it. Because it comes on its own. It is not a desire from your side. Desire kills it. It is the abundance of existence that simply goes on flowing towards you if you are available. Just remain available, and there will be more and more and more. But from your mind, the idea of getting more has to be dropped entirely. The moment you ask for more, there will be less. If you become too much ambitious, there is every possibility you will lose it completely. So it is a little delicate matter. You keep your doors and windows open and enjoy whatsoever happens. And so much happens that you cannot conceive more is possible. But when more will happen, you will be surprised. And this more goes on happening. But remember the word happening. It is nothing like an effort, a plan, a project on your part. You have to be just an empty receiver. Just as water flows downwards towards the ocean, with the beauty, the truth, the love, all that is valuable in existence flows towards a person who is nobody.
Bhagwan, I wish there was only you and no commune. I feel wings when I see you, but aggressive and helpless in connection with the commune. And this makes me feel unhappy and ashamed. Everything you say is so clear to me, and yet I have the feeling that I don't understand you at all. What is the matter with me?
Much is the matter with you. There are 500,000 sannyasins around the world. Everybody wants the same you are asking. That he should possess me totally. That there should be nobody else who shares. But please think of me too. Just you and me. Are you bent upon to bore me to death? And remember, this is the desire of every sannyasi. You have to understand it. Why this fear and helplessness with the commune? Commune is nothing but Maya. Expanded being. If you really love me, you will automatically love the commune. If you are feeling beautiful winds blowing when I am with you, then in the commune you will feel even much more, because I am there in many forms. I have lost my personality completely. I am just an opening. Whoever enters into me also becomes part of the infinite. If you are somehow fearful and detest the commune, that simply means you have not come yet close to me, not at all. You say you feel you understand me clearly. Every word that I utter, you understand it. And yet you have the feeling that you don't understand me at all. your second part is right. You don't understand me at all. You only understand the words that I speak. And the words that I speak are just simple, ordinary, day-to-day use words. Anybody can understand those words. I am not a scholar. I am not a theologian. I am not crazy enough to be esoteric. I am speaking to you not even giving a discourse. It is just a heart-to-heart talk. Words you understand, that gives you the misconception. To understand my words is not the real thing. There is something more between the words, between the lines. In the moments when I suddenly pass in the middle of a sentence, if you understand those pauses, those moments of silence, those gaps between two words, no dictionary is needed. No dictionary can manage to explain those gaps, those intervals. That wordlessness is my real message. I am using words only to create wordlessness as a contrast. Forget everything that I have told you, but remember all those moments when I was silent. It is a strange way of speaking. Nobody speaks that way. But when I stop, you are also in a stop, waiting, awaiting. What am I going to say? Catch those wordless moments. I am there, and you will find yourself also there. The Bible says, in the beginning there was word. This is sheer stupidity. In the beginning, if there was any beginning, there was wordlessness. The Bible says, and the Word was with God. What kind of reasoning is this? First you say in the beginning there was only the Word. Then from where this God comes? And the Bible says not only this, it says the Word was with God and the Word was the God. It is just the opposite of the reality. In the beginning there was wordlessness. And there was no God with wordlessness. And the question of God being one with wordlessness is absolutely stupid, because God itself is a word and nothing else. That silence was not only in the beginning, it is in the middle too, it is in the end too, it is always. It surrounds you 24 hours, but the difficulty is not only a single word, but millions of words are with you. They make a very thick wall between you and existence. You are encaged into words. Christian, Hindu, Mohammedan, Buddhist. The sermons in the churches, in the synagogues, are just words. I am not giving you a sermon. I am simply creating a device using two words. To make you aware of the pause in between. Only then you will understand. And it is not a question of understanding me. Understanding is simply understanding. When you bring a lighted torch into a dark room, it shows you the whole room, all that is there, the paintings on the walls, the furniture, the floor, the roof, understanding is a quality in you. It has not to be connected with me. It is not linear. It is multidimensional. The moment you understand, the whole existence is an open book for you. Then all the mystifications of the religions disappear. Remember, I am saying mystifications. I am not saying the mysteries. In fact, when all the mystifications of the religions disappear and you suddenly find yourself just in a moment of understanding, life is an open book, but tremendously mysterious. When mystifications are no more there, then there is mystery. Then each moment of your life is a mystery. And every moment of your life goes on leading you deeper and deeper. Into the mysterious, the miraculous. All the religions have committed a great crime against humanity. They have tried to explain you what is not explainable. In their effort to explain to you the mystery of life, they have really explained it away by inventing a God. They destroyed the mystery of creativity. They created a God as creator. They continuously conditioned you that existence is the creation. But existence is not schizophrenic. It is not split into the creator and the creation. It is simply creativity. Hence I say to you, that sometimes poets, singers, dancers have come very close to the mystery, but I don't recall any saint, theologian, philosopher to have come close to the mystery of existence. In fact, their whole effort is to demystify existence. they are trying to put before you a certain dogma which explains everything and leaves nothing for you. Those are mere words, empty, ugly. I don't want to give you words. You are already too much burdened. I want to take all words from you. And I am using words for a very strange reason, because if you have a thorn in your feet, you have to use another thorn to take it out. I am destroying your words by my words and giving you a chance continuously to listen to the pauses, the silent moments. You are right that you feel you understand my words. Anybody can do that. I don't use big words. I don't use any jargon. And you are also right that the feeling arises that you don't understand me at all. You will have to choose. Either you go on understanding my words and you will become a great pundit, a scholar. And the scholar is farthest away from existence. You may become very knowledgeable, but your knowledge is just an effort to cover up your ignorance. But if you choose the silent periods, then suddenly, all the mysteries of life become available to you, not as explanations. You don't get reality as an answer. You get it as an experience, and with that mystery you also become a mystery. This is not ignorance, this is innocence. You become the child.
Bhagwan, I have attempted suicide a number of times and I feel really attracted to death. This disturbs me, but at the same time gives me joy. Will you say something about it?
This is great. one can commit suicide only once. And you have attempted many times. And you are still alive. Those attempts were not truly they were all bogus, and you knew it even then. I have heard Mullah Nasruddin wanted to commit suicide. Being a man of great cleverness, he made all the arrangements, left no loophole. Perhaps nobody else has attempted suicide in that way. He went on top of a hill with a pistol with himself, just underneath the hill, deep down was a river, very dangerous, deep. And surrounded by all kinds of rocks. On the hill there was a tree. He has brought also a rope. Not to take any chance. He figured it out, all possible things, so that the suicide is absolutely certain. He also carried with himself a big container full of kerosene oil. He hanged himself with the tree. But because he was going to do many more things, he could not leave his feet from the earth, because then how he is going to do other things? So he was hanging with the tree and standing on the earth. Then he poured the kerosene oil over himself. He has brought a lighter too. He created fire. The kerosene oil was burning all around him. But he was not the man to take any chances. So he also sought a bullet in his head. But the bullet cut the rope. He fell down into the river. The river water destroyed the fire. Desperately he was coming home back when I met him. I asked, "You are still alive? With all that arrangement?" He said, "What to do? I know swimming." Everything failed. You say you have attempted suicide many times. One thing is certain. You don't want to commit suicide. You want to play with the idea. And you feel it also that there is fear about death, and there is also a certain joy. This is not only your situation. It is a very common human phenomenon. Life is a torture, a burden. It is anguish. One wants to get rid of it. To get rid of it means getting rid of all the anguish, the despair, the hopelessness, the meaninglessness. This wife, this husband, these kids, this job. Hence, there is an attraction towards death, because death will put an end to all your misery. But it will also put an end of you. That creates fear. You really want to live and live forever. But you want to live in paradise. And you are living in a hell. You want to get rid of the hell. You don't want to get rid of yourself. And I want to emphasize that you are your own hell. So suicide is attractive from one side, that it will put an end to all your miseries. But on the other hand, a great fear. It will finish you too. Is not there some way that the miseries can be finished? And you can live more intensely. I also teach you that a certain suicide can help you. The suicide of the ego. not of you. Let the ego die and then see with it all problems disappear, and you are left full of joy, blessedness, and each moment goes on. Opening new doors to new mysteries. Each moment becomes a moment of discovery, and it is an unending process. You have attempted so many times to commit suicide. This time you commit suicide my style. And anyway, you have failed so much that you must have become very much of an expert in failing. And deep down you don't want to die because you are afraid of death, which is natural. Why one should put an end to his life when life is not even lived? You have not even tasted it. You have not explored the multidimensional beauties, joys and blessings of life. Naturally, you are afraid. But still you go on attempting, because you don't know how to get rid of all the miseries. Suicide seems to be the simplest way. You are in a split. Half of your mind says, commit suicide and be finished with all this nonsense. Enough is enough. The other part tries to sabotage your effort, because the other part wants to live. You have not lived yet. Suicide is not going to hell. Only more life, more abundant life is going to hell. So this time, kill the ego and see the miracle happen. With the ego gone, there is no misery, no anguish, and no need to commit suicide. With the ego gone, all the doors that were closed by the ego suddenly open, and you are available to the sun, to the moon, to the stars, And it is easier because to kill the ego, you don't need a pistol, kerosene oil, a rope to hang the ego. Fire to burn the ego. And if anything fails, then a deep mountainous river underneath to finish the ego. You don't need any of these things. Because the ego is only a creation by the society, by the religion, by the culture. It does not exist in fact. You have only to look deeply into it. It is a shadow. You have to look into it and it is not there. Meditation is simply a method into looking. What this ego is, and whoever has ever looked in has not found it. Without any exception, throughout the history of man, whoever has looked inwards has not come across any ego. This is the suicide of the ego. Nothing has to be done. Just a little turning in. And once you know it is not there, then all the sufferings that you were carrying because of a non-existential ego disappear. They cannot have any nourishment anymore. And everything can be created in your mind by conditioning, by programming, and that's what the society has done to you. We have lived the whole history in an ugly way. One of my professors was not agreeing with me that something can be created by other people. When it is not there at all. So I said, I will show it to you. I was very much loved by the man. His wife was very loving towards me. I went to his wife and told her that tomorrow morning, when the professor gets up, you have to pretend as if you are shocked and say to him, what has happened to you? When you had gone to bed, you were perfectly okay. Now your face is looking pale. Are you sick or something? The professor simply denied. He said, what nonsense you are talking. I am perfectly okay. I had told his gardener that when he comes into the garden, you simply say, my God, what has happened to you? You cannot even walk. You are wobbling. Something is wrong with you. Just go inside and rest, and I will go and call the doctor. And I have said to all these people that whatsoever he says, exactly in his own words, you keep it written. I will collect those notes. To the gardener he said, yes, it seems something is wrong. Perhaps I should rest. I should not go to the university. But I don't see any need of calling the doctor. But he was perfectly healthy and there was no problem. So finally he decided that at least for half an hour or hour he will go to the university. On the way I had said to many people whom I trusted, on the way there was the postmaster. I told him that even if you are busy, don't miss. When professor passes by, you shout at him, what are you doing? Where are you going? Are you mad? Your body is absolutely sick. You come into my house, rest, I will call the doctor. I collected all these notes. He said, yes, from the last night I have this feeling that something is going wrong. I'm not exactly sure what is going wrong, but something is wrong. I feel a certain trembling inside, a fear, as if I'm not going to last long. His house and the university philosophy department were almost 1 mile distant, and he had always walked. But that day, in the middle, he stopped another professor's car and told him that I don't think I will be able to reach the university department. The university was on a hilly place, up and down. From his house it was an uphill task to reach to the department. The department was on the top of the hill and his house was in the valley. He said, "I'm puffing, my body is trembling, I think there is fever and there is much more which I cannot figure out." So he wanted a lift. And the professor who had passed him was sent by me, that just when he is in a very bad situation, you stop your car and ask, "What is the matter?" In the car he said that you should not have come, you should have called the doctor. "Your eyes look as if they have lost all luster. Your face looks dry, faded. You look like a faded painting. Just in one night, had you an heart attack in the night? And it must have been serious." And he said, "It seems that I had a heart attack and I was not aware because I was asleep. But now I know. All the symptoms are showing that my life is at the very end." When he entered the university department, the peon who used to sit in front of the department I had told him, "When he comes, you simply jump and hold him." He said, "But he will be very angry." "And what kind of thing you are asking? You have never asked anything." I said, "We are doing an experiment, me and the professor. You don't interfere, you simply do what I say. You just hold him and tell him that you are going to fall." And he did that, and the professor thanked him. And the peon had no need to tell him that you were going to fall. The professor said himself that if you were not here, I would have fallen. Inside the department, I was waiting for him. I said, "Jesus, you look like a ghost. What calamity has happened to you?" I took hold of him, put him in a reclining chair. And he said, Just one thing I want to tell you. My children are small. He had only 2 children. My wife is young, inexperienced. I don't have any family. My father is dead, my mother is dead. I don't know anybody who can take care of them when I am gone. Only I can think of you. I said, you don't be worried. I will take care of your children, your wife, better than you are doing. But before you decide to leave the world, I have to show you a few notes. He said, what notes? I said, I will have to go and collect them. He said, from whom? He said, from your wife, from the gardener, from the postmaster, from the professor who drove you here, from the pune who saved you from falling. He said, but how do you know? I said, it was all planned. And you say that men cannot be deceived by something non-existential. I went down, collected all the notes, and I showed him one by one, and I said, look how you are getting caught up. To your wife you absolutely denied. To the gardener you said, perhaps something is wrong. But it was perhaps. You were not certain yet, but the thing was getting in. To the postmaster you said, yes, something must have happened. From the very evening I was feeling bad, sick, apprehensive. And to the professor in the car, you accepted that you must have had a heart attack while you were asleep. You are feeling so weak. And he was a strong man. That you could not conceive yourself walking uphill to the department. And to the pune, who jumped and took hold of you, you said, I am grateful to you. I was just going to fall and collapse. Now this is a simple idea I told him that has been implanted in you. Now, do you see the point? This man can even die. Just you have to go on. I was only proving a point on which he was not agreeing. So this was only an argument. I did not want him to die. Otherwise I would have talked to the doctor and said to him that your days are finished. So whatsoever you want to do, write your will or anything, do it quickly. It is not something that I can help. Your heart is simply finished. Any moment it is going to stop. I could have killed that man just by an idea and seeing his notes. Immediately he was back, perfectly healthy, walked down the hill laughing. Told the pun that you should not listen to this man, he is dangerous. He was almost killing me. He told to the professor that this is not right, that you suggested me that you must have had a heart attack. He told the postmaster that you are my neighbor and is this right? To push me towards death? And he was very angry with his wife. He said, I can think that he persuaded other people. He has everybody impressed by him, but I cannot believe that my own wife deceived me, listened to him, and we were in an argument, and it was a question of my prestige, and you destroyed it. But the wife said that you should be grateful to him. He has given an existential proof that man can be programmed for anything which does not exist at all. You think you are a Christian? It is just an idea implanted in you. Do you think there is a God? An idea implanted in you. Do you think there is heaven and hell? It is nothing but programming. You are all programmed. My work with you is to deprogram you, and I am showing you all the notes. Day after day, continuously, that these are the things that have almost made you dull, stupid. even attracted towards suicide, towards death, my religion is unique in this way that all the religions of the past have programmed people. I deprogram you and then I leave you alone to yourself. People have been asking me, what is your religion, what is your philosophy, can't you give us something like Christian catechism so we can understand these are your principles? I have none, because that will be programming you again. When a Hindu becomes a Christian, what happens? The Christians deprogram him as a Hindu and reprogram him as a Christian. There is no difference from one ditch, he has fallen into another ditch. Perhaps the newness of it may keep him happy for a few days, and soon he will start looking for another ditch. Now he is addicted to ditches. And in this way he is simply digging his own grave. That is the final ditch in which he will fall down. I deprogram you and I don't give you any other program. I leave you alone, empty, just a zero. In that zero, the ego disappears. And all the blessings start showering on you.
Bhagwan, sometimes during discourse, my vision becomes unfocused. I see you change with other faces, other clothes, and other bodily gestures. It's a strange feeling. Do you have anything to say?
It is nothing. It is not a strange phenomenon. It is just the Oregonian sun and its heat. You should simply go to Pythagoras You need medical treatment. And of course, I am not a medicine man. First, get medical treatment. And when you start seeing me the way everybody else is seeing me, then if you have any question, I can help.
Book One. Do you see experiments on human life, such as artificial birth and the exchange of hearts and brains, as an advance or as an action against nature?
It all depends who is going to do it. If the politicians are going to do it, or the so-called religions are going to do it, then it is against nature. They cannot do anything natural. They are against nature. But if it is being done by an international academy of scientists, I say International Academy of Scientists, it can be a tremendous progressive step. And it will not be against nature. It will be nature's growth. But all depends who is doing it. The experiments themselves are neutral. No experiment has any vested interest. It is neutral. You can use poison to kill you. The same poison can be used by medical people to save you. It all depends who is doing it. For example, the discovery of atomic energy was a tremendously great progress, a quantum leap. We had found a key to transform the earth into paradise. So much energy in such a small atom. And there are in everything, just in a dewdrop, there are millions of atoms. Any atom, if it is exploded, releases so much energy that you can make the whole earth live in luxury. Or you can create Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Thousands of people within seconds dead. But because the atomic energy, its invention went into the hands of the politicians, it became a servant to death. Now there are even far advanced nuclear weapons which can destroy the whole earth. Already existing weapons are enough to destroy this earth 700 times. One simply wonders why nations are going to grow more and more nuclear power. 700 times destroying the earth is not enough. In fact, you can destroy the earth only once. But the scientific progress falls into the hands of the politicians, because only they can provide enough finance to make these discoveries possible. The scientists of the whole world should think over it. Their genius is being used by idiots. The scientists should disconnect themselves from any nation, whether it is Soviet Union or America. They should create an international academy of sciences. And it is not difficult. If all the scientists of the world are together, finances can be made available, and these discoveries can help men tremendously. The International Academy of Scientists can be in this international city. We can give them land and every possible support. But this should be the decisive factors, what is going to happen through their experiments. And it is time the scientists should recognize their great responsibility. Because if a third world war happens, then the scientists will be the greatest criminals, because they supplied all kinds of inventions to politicians. Science should not be the monopoly of any nation, any country. The whole idea is stupid. How science can be monopolized? And every country is trying to monopolize the scientists, keep their inventions secret. This is against humanity, against nature, against existence. Whatsoever a genius discovers should be in the service of the whole. You are asking that discoveries like changing human hearts or human brains, are these progressive steps? They are great importance to bring a new humanity on the earth. If Einstein's body is no more capable to live, do you think it would not be good that his whole brain is transplanted into a young man, healthy, the new man will become? And Einstein, because all the genius of the Einstein is transplanted to a younger body. This way bodies may go on changing, but we can keep the genius of Albert Einstein growing for centuries. And if a man in his 70 years life can give so much, you can imagine if his brain continues for centuries, how much beneficial it will be for humanity, for the whole universe. This is really a wastage. The container gets rotten and you throw the content also. The body is only a container. If the container has become dirty, old, unusable, change the container. But don't throw away the content. The genius minds can live for eternity in different bodies. There is nothing against nature. Your heart, if it starts failing and you are of immense value to humanity, what is the fear of exchanging the heart? Because somebody may be dying from cancer, but his heart is perfectly healthy. That heart can be planted to a man who is talented, a genius, and is healthy, but his heart is not strong. This is simple. There is nothing against nature. But with politicians and the power in their hands, of course, every advance has gone against nature. Everything that the human genius has discovered, invented, finally is in the service of death. The politicians are the agents of death on earth. So are the priests. Now science is no more a child that it has to depend on others. Science is now enough grown up, it is adult. Just a little courage. I give the invitation to all the scientists of the world. That we have the place. We have intelligent people here to help you in every possible way. And if you want to make an international academy here, we are capable to manage finances for you. It will be a great revolution in the history of man. And the whole power will be in the hands of the scientists who have never done any harm to anybody. And once all the power is in the hands of the scientists, politicians will fade away on their own accord. They have been exploiting scientists for their own purposes. And to be exploited by anybody is not an act of dignity. The scientists should recognize their dignity. They should recognize their individuality. They should recognize that they have been exploited down the ages by the priests and the politicians. Now it is time to declare that science is going to stand on its own feet. This will be a great freedom. Then all these experiments, artificial babies, will be of a different caliber, because you can manage what kind of genius you want. Up to now it is just accidental. And because of it is accidental, ninety-9% people have nothing to contribute. They contribute only problems to the world. Now, what Ethiopia has contributed to the world? What the poor countries have contributed to the world, or even the rich countries, except problems, wars, there is no contribution on their part. But if you can give birth to a child in a scientific lab, it is possible. There is no problem in it. The male semen and the women's egg can meet in a tube. There is no need to go on the old bullock cart way. And we can look and we can have the whole picture what this child is going to be. If we want more poets, we can create more poets. If we want more musicians, we can create more musicians. And we can create only the geniuses. There is no need for mediocre people. They have had their day. We can give the child strength, long life. We can make it sure that he never becomes sick. That he will never become old. It is just a question of managing and finding the right egg and the right male contribution to the egg. What we have been doing is just utterly unintelligent. And this will free man also from the guilt, possessiveness, jealousy, because you will not be producing children. Sex for the first time will be simply fun. Children will be produced in the lab. They will belong to all. And because you are not going to produce children in the old way, it should be illegal and criminal to do so. You will be behind the bars if you do it. Then many problems of your life will be simply dissolved. Why the man is so much insistent throughout the ages, the insistence has remained there. He wants to be certain that the child born out of her wife's womb is his. Why? Who are you anyway? It is a question of property, because your child will become the inheritor of all that you have accumulated. You want to be certain that it is your child, not your neighbor's child. Women have been kept almost imprisoned for the simple fear that if they start mixing into people, it will be difficult to decide whose child is this. Only the mother will know, or even she may not know. Production of life goes into the hands of science, sex will be transformed. Then you are not jealous. Then you are not a monopolist. Then monogamy is absurd. Then sex is just a fun. The way you enjoy tennis and And you don't bother that the partners should remain monogamous. Two bodies enjoying each other. And there will be no fear that the wife may get pregnant and there will be problems, financial and other. Sex will not be anymore a problem for world population. It will not be anymore a problem for the priest. In fact, if children are produced in the scientific lab, much of the troubles of the world will dissolve. And we can create the best people, beautiful, healthy, capable to live as long as we want, old age is not necessary. A man can remain young healthy without sickness. All these hospitals and so many people, so much money involved in it. Do you know America spends more money on laxatives than on education? Great idea. Who cares about education? The question is laxative. But the basic thing should be remembered. Scientists have to be courageous enough and declare that they don't belong to any nation, to any religion, that whatsoever they will be doing will be for the whole humanity. And I don't see there is anything impossible in it. I am absolutely for those progressive inventions which can make men happier, live longer, younger, healthier, and make his life more of a play, fun, and less of a torturous journey from the cradle to the grave. Okay, so